Negotiate. How to negotiate and always win. What is God? Mary Baker Eddy describes God in 5 words, as well as a number of definitions that use more than 5 words, or even less. The 5 that come to thought is that God is all in all. Another group of 5 words is that there is nothing but God. A more detailed definition is on page 465 of the textbook of Christian Science, which is Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. And it states that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. On page 587 in the glossary, she defines God as God is the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love. All substance, intelligence. Throughout the entire 700 pages of the textbook, God is used many, many times, probably on nearly every page. Helen Wright wrote a book entitled Your Divinity Revealed, and the chapters 4 through 10, each one is devoted to a particular synonymous term for God, which are the 7 that were mentioned of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, which were the definitions from page 465 and 587. Helen Wright also combed Science and Health with 7 different editions or 7 different copies, and she underlined every time each of those 7 terms appeared in the chapters. So if one wanted to study mind, they could look at the series of pages which has only mind underlined. And the same with each of the other 6. It appears that no one on this earth understands God well enough to be in an invisible form, or at least we couldn't see them, and therefore they do not understand God well enough. When Jesus understood God well enough, he ascended. And not long before he ascended, he told his disciples not to touch him. And he referred to the fact that he was not of this world, meaning that his level of consciousness had already been elevated to where he could visualize himself being a true spiritual being or son of God. He also stated that those who follow him would do greater things than he did. It appears that what he was trying to convey to us, if he would only have the listeners and the ones that were striving to gain the altitude needed to do greater things than he, it appears that the message was that he already proved many things. He demonstrated them to those who were around him. And therefore, we know that it is true that death can be overcome, that sin and sickness can be overcome. For he healed all three of those ills of which a human was subject. There are a few other examples in the Bible of what appeared as a human overcame death. John, the one to whom Jesus dictated the book of Revelation, apparently ascended, for no one ever found his body. And there were a few others. Jesus did not say he was God. In fact, he stated that God was greater than he. One certainly cannot be greater than themselves, so he had to be referring to another entity. Dr. Robert C. Putnam, his doctorate was from being a chemist, wrote 10 Bible lessons in a book entitled the same, 10 Bible Lessons, and that was a partial assimilation of what he learned from teaching 30 years of Sunday school. And the chapter on Christ Jesus, which is the 9th chapter or the 9th Bible lesson, he explains and refers to the specific quotes in the Bible whereby his conclusion that Jesus reappeared to John to dictate the book of Revelation is true. But there is not a single individual that appeared in human form, apparently, that did not make mistakes. And that includes Jesus. Jesus chose Judas. All the great figures in the Bible had their trials and tribulations. God, as defined by Mary Baker Eddy, does not make mistakes. In fact, she states clearly that God does not even know evil. She says, how can anyone know something unlike themselves? And yet she says that God is all-knowing. That must mean that there is no reality in evil. Otherwise, God would know it. God is the reality, and anything unlike God is unreality. If one is going to look for the Grail, the Golden Grail, or the Holy Grail, when one negotiates, where should one look? It has been stated in a number of different treatments that are available from this website that one should go to one source and one source only first and foremost, and that is the Holy Grail, which is God. God is defined by Mary Baker Eddy. Even though apparently no one knows really the totality of God, and probably never could because God is infinite, but we should all be striving toward that goal, to learn more and more about God every opportunity we have, which is constantly. It's continuous. Mary Baker Eddy states that infinite progression is concrete being. Concrete, I believe, is a symbol for something that is considered to be substantial. And we all have a concept of what the infinite is, which means that it goes on forever and ever. It has no limitation in any form whatsoever. So the only way to have something substantial which is concrete in this example, and to be a part of it, that's what concrete being refers to, then one must be progressing in the path of truth absolutely continuously. A moment is defined as the smallest measurement of time. So we have basically an infinite number of moments to consider. What are we doing with our moments? Are we striving to be godlike in every moment, every thought, every speech, and every action? Jesus said that what we think is basically what we are. In other words, if we think it, it's the same as doing it. And what we do is a reflection of what we are. Truth is the term for God, which represents motive and consciousness. Truth is always true. If we're going to negotiate, do we want to be thinking only about what is true? Or do we want to think about or consider what human thought is? And therefore, open the door to mortal mind and become involved in the dance, which is always moving around to a different target. In other words, the goalposts are moving. They're not stationary because they're not based on fact, which is truth. So-called mortal mind, Mary Baker Eddy defines as an oxymoron. She said, because mind is immortal and therefore cannot be mortal, and therefore there cannot be any mortal mind, because the only mind that exists is immortal. If one clings to the fact that the only mind is immortal, when one is involved in a negotiation of any kind whatsoever, it could be negotiating with one's own thoughts, it could be negotiating for the acquisition of real estate, or a business, or an employee, it could be anything. We are really negotiating continuously all day long, which means that we're making decisions. If we're just walking down the street, we're making a decision on where we're going to put our foot, the next step. We're making decisions on what are we going to be looking at as we're walking? What are we going to be thinking about? Are we going to be utilizing the moments in a productive manner? Are we trying to be on that path of infinite progression, striving for concrete being? Remember, it's infinite, so it's always there, and there's no end to it. If we want to always win, then there have been some clues already stated in this recording on where our thought needs to be. And it certainly is not on personality, because personality is mortal thought that is always changing. As stated, it's in a dance, moving here and there and everywhere, going in squares, going around in circles. If one wants to negotiate and always win, it is suggested that they look at those seven chapters referred to in the book that was named previously, which was Your Divinity Revealed by Helen Wright, and also to study the 10 Bible lessons by Dr. Robert C. Putnam. His background in chemistry was an excellent discipline for the study of Christian Science. For that's exactly what Christian Science is. It is about the chemistry of thought, speech, and action. Frederick L. Rawson, another great Christian Scientist and probably one of the most successful healers of all Christian Science students, he wrote a book that is entitled Treatment or Healing by True Prayer. And contained in that book is a chapter on applied treatments, and he enumerates 1,315 different ailments, and with each one, the counterfact, which means the reverse of an ailment, the counterfact, so that one can utilize that in order to work with bringing about the healing. The counterfact is defined as being the truth, and the ailment, of course, being the lie. The false belief, the mortal mind assessment of the problem. He had many instantaneous healings. One of his most profound statements is similar to what Shakespeare said, which is one of the three introductory quotes to the textbook of Science and Health. Shakespeare said, "There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." And the emphasis by Mr. Rawson is primarily condensed down to that we must change our thoughts if we want to change our experience. And that is what his book, Treatment or Healing by True Prayer, is all about. Because if we have a thought that we have an ailment, one of those 1,315, which probably covers everything that one could imagine or one has experienced, then we have to deny that it is real, and then we have to affirm what is real by focusing on what he tells us is the counterfact. And each one of these 1,315 was a result of sincere scientific prayer, where he was seeking and listening for the answer to what is the true counterfact about each one of these ailments, and also what is the belief about. In other words, everything is a symbol, and what is the symbolic nature of number one ailment, or number two, or number 1,315? What is the belief about that ailment? And then, when that was revealed to him, it was revealed what is the exact opposite. It was mentioned that Dr. Putnam was a chemist, and that that's what Christian Science is all about, the chemistry of our thought. And the profession of Frederick L. Rawson was electricity. He was such a professional that people came from all over the world to consult him for solving problems that had to do with electricity. One of the many researches that he did in his healing work and discovery of exactly what Christian Science was all about was to measure the electrical pulses in the body. This included the time in which there appeared to be an ailment, and as the ailment was being healed and after the ailment. And he discovered that there were both positive and negative electrical charges in the body. And when there was an ailment, there were plenty of negative charges in the body. And after the ailment was cured, the negative pulses had been eliminated, or rather shorted out, by the overpowering of positive charges in the body. So, in other words, as we are involved in the healing process, we are actually changing the composition of the electrical network in the body. Now, by body, I'm referring to a very narrow definition of body, meaning what we see as a physical body. However, one could view body as their entire experience. One could think about everything that they think, or talk about, or act. Every action is a part of their body. And in all fields, whether it's personal, family relationship, a business, an event, anything and everything that is in one's thought is a part of their body, whether it is something you can touch or whether it is intangible. If one is thinking about taking a trip, they haven't gone anywhere yet, but that is a part of their body. It's a part of their experience. It's a part of their thought. And may very well be an encouragement to change actions and thinking about their entire experience. In other words, if they really want to take the trip, they're going to be thinking about preparing for it. Zig Ziglar, one of the great and honest salesmen and sales trainer, said something to the effect that if you would be offered a free trip, all expenses paid, but you had to be ready to leave by, you know, some short day in the future, 2 or 3, 4 days from now, he said, would you do anything different in your schedule of activities between now and then? And he proposed that everyone that was motivated to take that free trip would dramatically change everything they were doing and the speed at which they were doing it. Because they would do everything that they could dream of to make it happen for them to be ready to leave. If we are negotiating about anything with anyone or any group, and like most people want to win when they're in a competition, then we must go to God, one, only, and all. In other words, go nowhere else. One of the most beautiful things about divine metaphysics is that when we get our thought, speech, and action in alignment with God, which means the seven synonymous terms and everything else that defines that we have written on what God is, when we are in alignment with everything, in other words, the highest degree of pureness that we understand at the moment, then everything else automatically adjusts itself to the absolute right, correct thing. In other words, we demonstrate mentally, number one, and number two, the physical comes in alignment with what we demonstrated mentally. There was a family that had been robbed at gunpoint. They were experienced Christian Scientists, devoted to God, living correctly, thinking correctly, acting correctly. And when the man entered their home with the gun pointed at him, they immediately transferred their thought from what the physical picture was presenting to God and his highest idea, which is man. And they declared mentally to themselves, as this event was taking place, that man is the image and likeness of God. And one man could not hurt another one, because God is the one with all the action, with all the ability to do anything. And they held with this kind of thinking, and then the fellow left with the things that he was stealing, and they kept thinking along the same line of thought. And pretty soon there was a knock at the door. The man had returned with everything that he had stolen, and he said, "I have no idea what came over me." He said, "These are your things, not mine, and please forgive me for this blunder that I have done in thinking I could get these for free." So the physical experience aligned with their thinking. It happens every time. And we must keep in thought that it is not our responsibility to determine the time on when something should take place, for God is the all-knowing. And there's no use telling God we have trouble about anything or anyone or any event or any group. Because when we negotiate, we're not negotiating with others. If we're truly negotiating, we're negotiating with our own thought. We are enlightening our own thought to the truth about God, man, and the relationship between God and man. That's our only duty. That's the only thing we need to do. Because everything physical will come into alignment with the mental. So our sole task is to work on the mental. That is our negotiation. That is how we win every single time. If we stick to it until we have our thought in alignment with truth, with the counterfact of whatever seems to be the problem or whatever seems to be in need of resolving. Five people sitting down to a table to negotiate means that there's a problem, because we are seeing five personalities. We need to see one, and that is the infinite one. Mary Baker Eddy defines God as the infinite personality. She said, if we're going to think of God as a person, then think of God as the infinite personality. which means perfect, which means mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And we also have to think about the operators. Just like math has 10 digits of 0 through 9, and it has add, subtract, multiply, and divide as the operators. The same with music. It's got the notes. It's got the operators. Everything has a principle that has the elements and the operations which apply to those elements in order to bring forth a product. If we want to bring forth a product of win, where everyone wins, then we have to go to God first, only, and all. Because God will take care of the details. Many times, if we think we have a problem, if we do something that is totally unrelated to the problem, it can be anything. It can be a pleasurable activity like snow skiing or water skiing, or if we're into racing vehicles, or walking through the woods, or if we're a photographer or enjoy taking pictures as an amateur, just as a hobby. We could be taking pictures of beautiful things. Could be anything that is of interest to us, as long as it is a God activity. We don't want to be taking pictures of accidents, because that is not a God activity. That is a misconception of reality. That is a belief that one can be separated from God, whether it's the ones in the supposedly in the accident or whether it's one viewing the accident. There is a belief that there is a separation between God and His creation. Genesis 1 states that in the beginning God created, and then it goes into detail about the seven major things. Mary Baker Eddy defines that as being God is the only, in the only, not in the beginning. She says in the infinite there is no beginning, there is no end, there is no time. The only time is this moment, which means there is no time. Time is a measurement of a relative activity. Einstein became famous for one thing among others, of the theory of relativity. In simple terms, he said that if a man is sitting with a beautiful woman having a conversation, time goes very fast. However, if one is involved in an activity that is unfavorable, time goes very slow. Relativity is an individual visual calculation. Mary Baker Eddy, in a letter that she sent to a student under the title of Vision, she says, are you able to focus no matter what comes your way? So if time seems to be going too fast and you don't see how you can possibly get things done that need to be done, she's saying, can you focus? Or are you personalizing the situation, saying that it's not possible to get this physical activity done in the physical time that is available to do it? Another thing Einstein said was that if we have a problem, don't try to solve it on the level where the problem appeared. So if we have a situation just described where we think it's impossible to get things done in the time that is available, we have to negotiate with our own thought, and we have to elevate above it. We have to replace a material sense of limitation with infinite atmosphere. Einstein stated that he would love to travel through space on a beam of light. the speed of light is supposedly the speed at which one can do time travel. If one does time travel, they are eliminating the limitation of time, which means that it's like everything is a movie, and we can look at any part of that movie that we want to. If it's a two-hour movie, we could go to the one-minute mark, or we could go to the 50-minute mark, or any other mark on there, and we can view the movie at that part of the movie. Everything that is from a concept that there is a mortal mind is a movie. It is a thought that is projected as being real. But in fact, it is only one's interpretation. When one watches a movie, they could either view it as a movie and not real, and if they don't like it, they can turn it off or change to another movie. But they don't change that movie. They change their view. They're now viewing a different movie. Negotiation is all about the viewpoint. Are we seeing everyone that is a participant as an idea of God? Are we seeing everything to discuss as a topic that can be translated to one of the seven synonymous terms? In fact, translation is one of the operators of the system of divine metaphysics. The four operators are the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. Word means the facts. Christ means the translation or interpretation of those facts, or whatever is presented to us. Christianity means proving through demonstration that we have translated properly. And if we've translated properly, there's going to be an alignment of the physical with the mental. It's going to be harmonious. The end result is going to be what is termed healing. And what is healing? Healing is a change of viewpoint. It is changing our thought, our consciousness, from what appeared to be a problem to the reality of being. It's working along the path of infinite progression so that we can get a taste, a viewpoint of concrete being. And the fourth operator is science. Science means that we are in utopia. We understand how everything fits together, how everything is perfect, and it's only the viewpoint that has to be brought into alignment with truth. How do we negotiate and always win? It's not us winning. It's us recognizing that the truth is always true. Man is always the image and likeness of God. All we have to do is to change our viewpoint from what the temptation is to believe that there is discord into understanding that there is only harmony. Wentworth Winslow wrote about 125 articles or so. Each one is an independent topic, each one only anywhere from a part of a page to two or three pages. And they were bound into four books. One is Let God Do It. Second one is God Can Do It. Third one is God Will Do It. The fourth one is God is doing it. So that's kind of the four steps in thought. First of all, we have to open the door of consciousness to the infinite. Step number one, go to God first. Then we have to know that God can do it. We have to know that God will enlighten everyone involved so that it can be experienced. And then we have to know that God is doing it. God is bringing the fulfillment, the completion in viewpoint. Remember, only the viewpoint changes. That's what healing is all about. It's changing our viewpoint. Like Mary Baker Eddy said in that letter to the student, can we focus? Well, if we do, then we will be changing our viewpoint. And changing the viewpoint changes the experience. There's no doubt that we can gain a better and higher understanding of God as we focus on those two five-letter phrases that God is all in all. And by the way, that means all source and all manifestation, or rather, all source includes all manifestation. And the second one, that there is nothing but God. The end, and amen.